Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Thursday, the 20th of August. I'm Kerry Lanigan. The DA's carefully curated clean image took another knock this week. Political commentator Solly Moeng told Chris Steyn what the 4 billion rand Reserve Bank investigation into the DA finance spokesperson Mark Burke's former company meant for the party heading into elections. The full video is on biznews.com.
I think the DA, as we head to these next elections, it's inadvertently giving its political opponents all sorts of things to say, but you are not holier than us. Look at here, look at what happened to the matter of the former leader Tony Leon's agency apparently going behind the scenes to influence political decisions. Now there's this matter here. There was a matter of Stenison and all that stuff that he brought into the public. Now this Berg, Mark Berg story is big. Obviously, he clearly, in the company that he led, he no longer leads, his brother, Nicholas Berg, is apparently leading it now, clearly contravened the currency control regulations by using people's money to take out 4 billion rands into the outside market, basically pretending that these people were in agreement. They knew what was being done, because we know that each individual can take up to 12 million rands, 2 million rands without needing to a clearance from SARS, and 10 billion rands for foreign investment purposes. And it seems like these people didn't know. So obviously he has not been charged, but his name has been dragged into this thing. It's good. It'll be good to see what the DA does with this. Will it do with him what it often demands of other parties to do with their own people when they get dragged into this sort of thing? Or are they going to say, well, he's innocent until proven guilty, which is what everybody else does?
At the moment, they seem to be backing him, and he is denying all wrongdoing. He said he resigned in 2024 to pursue a political career, but he was still chairman of the group until this year.
Correct. And the funds were blocked late last year. So surely when this thing happened, when the steps were taken against the company late last year, he should have maybe resigned then, or come out then to say, look, this is what's happening in my space. I'm sorry. But then he waited. Maybe he was hoping that it would end there, that he would never see the light of day. Now it's seen the light of day, but he should have resigned long ago. So it's really, it's his cross to carry, and the DA must decide, well, we can't deal with this, especially as we head towards elections. We can't have all these crooks that we've been calling crooks all these years looking at us saying, aha, what did we say? You are not different from us.
Especially since he is the finance spokesperson for the party.
Exactly. And he sits on two important parliamentary committees, including SCOPA, including the appropriations and the joint finance committee. That's very important. He has access and view of a lot of decisions taken by government. At that level, I think that it's a consequential.
Former Google SA boss Stafford Marcy took to the BNC9 stage and went straight for the uncomfortable, including a warning that businesses of any size could be running with half their current staff within 3 years. Check out biznews.com for more.
Now, things like Discovery Vitality. Most of you in this audience are Discovery Vitality members of some kind, right? You believe in vitality. Today, vitality sits within an organization. In an agentic AI world, what destroys that model is not momentum, not some other healthcare provider, it's you and I. You and I destroy that model. In that model, I have to sign up to Discovery. I get paid, I pay whatever the gym fees, I do the checks, I do all of that, and my vitality status gives me discounts. It's too broad-based, it's too institutional, it's too centrally owned. In an agentic AI world, I am augmented by disparate species of cognitions that monitor who I am, where I am, what I'm doing consistently, perpetually, all the time. Right now on the stage, my heart rate's being monitored. Oxygenation levels of my blood. My watch knows where I am. It knows how I slept last night. It knows the workout that I did. It knows how many steps. It knows everything. And that rich digital information shadow, when I activate agents around it, could take not vitality in the sky owned by Agent Gore, but vitality that is real time, my true vitality, my real time vitality, augmented by disparate species of cognitions, could publish out into a marketplace my vitality score, and all the other healthcare providers can bid on my health. That will destroy vitality. Not an institution, it's you and I. You and I taking this service, being augmented by it, and then getting healthcare in a way that was previously unimagined. Getting rewarded in ways that you didn't previously thought possible. And this is a world where we can't really comprehend it.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Also from BNC9, Milkwood Capital's Rhys Summerton broke down what he looked for in the great serial acquirer and what happened when EOH's acquisition machine got it badly wrong. The full video is on biznews.com.
Now, you might think, what makes a good serial acquirer? And there's a couple of characteristics that we have to think about what makes a good serial acquirer. The first thing is decentralization. So what do I mean by decentralization? It means that if you're going to own a bunch of these little businesses and keep making acquisitions, you must make sure that they have management that are accountable for their actions. So you almost, you know, Charlie Munger said about Warren Buffett is he outsources it to the point of abdication. You know, you don't want to be involved with those businesses as the top management team. So that's very important, is to make sure that what I call radical autonomy, each of these subsidiaries or businesses you buy can continue to forge their own path in future, and they are incentivized by it. The next and the most important thing about serial acquirers, and we're going to get to some examples, is management. If I was doing a presentation, you would see in bold red would be management, and they need two characteristics. One, management needs to be motivated of the company you buy, and two, they need to be honest. If you don't have those two things, if they're not motivated and they're not honest, the whole serial acquisition story falls apart. Because think about it, you are allowing these people complete autonomy, so they have to then run their own business, and you have to trust them to do that. Now, those are two very powerful features, but you cannot be a serial acquirer if you don't have cash flow. You need cash coming out of that business so that you can make further acquisitions. Those are three very important ones, but those are things that you can identify.
And finally, Reuters gives us the latest wrap of U.S. markets and the biggest news from Wall Street.
Wall Street's main indexes closed modestly higher on Wednesday, with the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ all adding less than 0.25%. Risk appetite got a boost from easing government bond yields. The yield on the 30-year Treasury bond fell a day after hitting its highest level since 2007. The 10-year Treasury yield also fell. The moves came after the U.S. Treasury announced it would double the size of liquidity support buyback operations for longer-dated bonds. Adam Kunz is Chief Investment Officer at Winthrop Capital Management.
Stocks are, you know, marginally up today, and that's really just driven by the digestion of this yield curve control. You're seeing interest rates come down, in particular on long end, quite a bit. And so you're probably going to see markets try to use their crystal ball to determine what's coming next. And so I would expect volatility. Today seems like a day of rest in some degree. But I would say that volatility and increased volatility heading into changes in Fed policy should be the new expectation.
Investors, however, barely reacted to minutes from the Federal Reserve's July meeting, which showed deepening concern about inflation with several policymakers ready to raise interest rates. Many said a rate hike would be needed if inflation does not lower to the central bank's 2% target. Stocks on the move Wednesday included Moderna, which surged almost 177% after the company said its personalized mRNA cancer therapy developed with Merck cut the risk of melanoma recurrence and spread in a late-stage trial. Merck shares also jumped about 12.5%, and it was the biggest gainer in the Dow. Shares of Marvell Technology climbed nearly 10% after the company said it will develop Google's in-demand custom chips and has offered the search giant the right to buy a potential $12.2 billion stake. And shares of Target rose more than 4% after the retailer raised its annual sales forecast. Lowe's shares gained even after it trimmed its annual sales growth forecast, and Estee Lauder shares jumped more than 16% after the cosmetics maker forecast annual profit above Wall Street estimates.
That's it for this morning's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Kerry Lanigan. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.